hear and learn the whole counsel of the Word of God. So we're not just going to our favorite scriptures. We're not skipping over the hard parts. We have to deal with every single verse in the Bible. And in our journey through the Bible, we are now in the second epistle of the Apostle John. And we're going to be in the verses 1 through 6 today. I was hoping to try to do this epistle all in one shot, but you guys weren't so lucky. So 2 John, I was thinking, this letter, it's only 13 verses. This is a letter I could get behind, right? You know, I could write this, maybe. It's more of a postcard kind of than a letter compared to some of the other epistles in the Bible. But just a little background as we get into it. This letter, written by the Apostle John, somewhere around 95 AD, somewhere around that time. Possibly he was writing from the church in Ephesus. At the time of writing this epistle, it was most likely that Domitian was the emperor in Rome. So if you've heard of Nero and how bad he was to Christians, lighting them up like torches in Rome, Domitian was just as bad, if not worse. Under his reign, many, many, even millions of Christians, I think, were killed during those years. So at the time that John is writing, persecution against the church for being a Christian, for not worshiping the emperor in Rome, was very strong. So that's the background that we have as we get into this epistle, as John's writing to encourage believers in a time of intense persecution. So let's read it. We're going to be in 2 John verses 1 through 6. John says, "The elder to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, for the sake of the truth, which abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we have received commandment to do from the Father. And now I ask you, lady, not as writing to you a new commandment, but the one which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it." Let's pray. Lord, as we approach your word this morning, we could read it as just some more words, or we could hear it directly from you as your word for us. And I pray that you would open our eyes to see, that you would open our ears to hear, that you'd open the eyes of our heart, that you'd give us understanding, and that you'd lead us into all truth by your Holy Spirit. We want to hear from you, Lord. We want to see you. We want to know what it is you want to say to us. And I pray that today that would happen. So we ask that in your name, Jesus. Amen. "The elder to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all those who know the truth." The elder. And John was the elder in a few ways, wasn't he? He was old in age at this point. Back in this day, the average lifespan of a male, probably around 50 years. John, 90 years old. Almost twice the age of the oldest men around him. He was old. He was ancient. He was aged. But he had a lot of wisdom as a result of that. And not only was he the elder in terms of his age, but he was also an elder in terms of his role, his position in the church. He was an overseer. He was a shepherd. And both as an elder in age and as an elder in that position, in that role, he commanded authority and respect in the church. But you notice he doesn't say a elder, he says the elder. Because at this point, he was the only surviving apostle. And this was, a title that John held, that the church in that day knew when he wrote the elder, they knew who he was talking about. Oh, that's John. That's the Apostle John. He is the elder. Church knew John that way. They knew what he was talking about. And he says, the elder to the chosen lady. So who is this that he's writing to? What is he talking about? There's a couple different thoughts about it, different interpretations of this. One is that he was writing to an unnamed individual or person. The word for lady there is curia. It's the feminine version of Lord. Some people think maybe curia was this person's name. So that he was writing to an individual lady and her actual children. Others think he was writing to an individual lady and a church body that met in her house. And that could be, that might be. My thought was, if that was the case, why didn't John state her name like he does at the beginning of 3 John? Because he writes 3 John around the same time, and he writes the elder to the beloved Gaius. He mentions him by name. So why wouldn't he do that here in this letter? Maybe some say because of the persecution they are facing. And again, that could be the case. Another interpretation, though, is that he is talking to a specific church, and he's using the word lady as a symbol of that. Because notice he says, to the chosen lady. And the word chosen is used of the church, of us, of those who have believed in Christ over and over, that we are the called, the ecclesia, the church, those who have been called out. And lady, the church is the bride of Christ. And when he says her children, those in that church. I tend to lean toward that interpretation because when you look at the end of the letter, in verse 13, he says, the children of your chosen sister greet you. Remember, when apostles were writing these letters, they would say, so-and-so, and they'd sometimes mention the people they're writing with and maybe where they're writing from. And then at the end, or maybe not even mention where they're writing from, but at the end, they'll say, those who are with me greet you at this church, blah, blah, blah. And he seems to be following that format, doing that here, but just using the word chosen lady, chosen lady. The children of your chosen sister greet you. So why would he be doing that? Again, the answer is the persecution. He's using these code words because of the persecution that they're facing under the reign of Domitian, where many of their fellow believers are being killed. And they were false brethren, people who might intercept this letter. And if he said, to the church in this town, well, that would be really clear, right? And they'd know there's a church there, and maybe that church could be attacked. If you just say, hey, to Bob, well, there's a lot of Bobs, right? And in the Roman Empire, maybe use a different name. Hey, to Priscilla, right? Well, maybe there were a lot of Priscillas in the Roman Empire. You wouldn't know who he was specifically talking about if the letter was intercepted. But if he specifically mentioned a church in a specific town, there's usually only one church in one town, and they would know what he was talking about. Does that make sense? So I think that most likely John is using lady as a way to describe the church. Her children is the people in the church. Because it's not as easy to identify because of the persecution that they're facing. So he says, the elder to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in truth. And right from the start, John gives here to us the two things, the main themes, the focus of this letter, love and truth. Whom I love in truth. Just very similar to 1 John, the last letter we were looking at, John is still combating these heresies from the Gnostics, that Jesus has not come in the flesh. And John is old, the last surviving apostle. And maybe he's thinking, how much time do I have? Will this be the last letter I write? What's most important? What needs attention? For John, it was love and truth. And we're going to look at this in depth as we go. But John says here in this first verse, I love the church in truth. And he says, I'm not the only one who loves in truth. Not only I, but also all who know the truth. He's saying, if you know the truth, you will love the chosen lady, the church. Why? He says in verse 2, for the sake of the truth, which abides in us and will be with us forever. We will love the church because of the truth that abides in us when we believe in Jesus Christ. And what is the truth that abides in us? What is he talking about? When he talks about truth, what is John referencing? What does he mean by that? I would say the first thing is the Word of God. In John 17:17, John records for us in his gospel a prayer that Jesus prays to the Father as he's about to go to the cross. And he says in John 17, verse 17, as he's praying to the Father, sanctify them, my disciples, in the truth. Thy word is truth. When John talks about the truth, for sure, he's thinking about God's word, the scriptures, the truth of the gospel, for sure. That's part of God's word. The truth of the faith delivered once for all to the saints. The truth, the scriptures, the word of God. And his word is truth, and we are let it abide in us and abide in it. We've read that all throughout 1 John and in John's gospel. For the sake of the truth, which abides in us and will be with us forever. But I think also the truth can refer to the Spirit. You remember in 1 John 5:7, he said, it is the Spirit who bears witness to Jesus because the Spirit is the truth. The Word is truth. The Spirit is truth. When Jesus was talking about sending the Holy Spirit, he says, I will send you the Helper, my Spirit, the Spirit of truth. And he will lead you into all truth. Truth and the Spirit are mentioned over and over again together in Scripture. The Spirit is truth. And where does the Spirit live when we believe in Christ? He, what? Abides in us. What does John say here? For the sake of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. And by the way, I found this interesting. In 1 Peter, we read that we're born again by the Word of God. John 3, we're born again by the Spirit. It's by the Word and by the Spirit that we're born again. We're given eternal life by the truth which abides in us. The Word, the commandments that God has given us, the truth tells us to love each other. And what's the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is love. The Spirit is God, one of the members of the Godhead, and the Spirit lives in us. So by the Spirit, God lives in us when we believe in Jesus. And God loves the church. So if the Spirit lives in us, God is going to love the church through us. Amen? He loves the church in and through us. The chosen lady, the church, John says, whom I love in truth for the sake of the truth. Did you know that the church is God's plan for this fallen world? How crazy is that? You all are God's plan to save this fallen world. And the church is made up of and full of his people. His children who have been born again, his redeemed ones, his ransomed ones, his saints, the holy ones. The church is God's purpose. It's his plan A. God doesn't have a plan B for the salvation of the world, does he? I don't know about it. It's the church, you guys. It's you. It's us. He wants to use us in this world. We're the bride of his son, the chosen lady. And in Timothy, he tells Timothy when he's writing to him in 1 Timothy 3:15, I write you that you may know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of what? The truth. We're his household. We're also this pillar and support of truth. And you want to know the truth? This is the truth. If the truth abides in you, you will love the church for the sake of the truth. Am I saying truth too much? John says it four times in the first three verses of this epistle. It's important. We will love the church for God's sake. If the truth is in us, we will love the church for the sake of the truth. And guess what? We may not always feel like it. Do you always feel like loving each other here? You may not always like it. Not just feel like it, but you may not like doing it. It may not be easy at times to do that, especially when someone's offended you, when someone's done something to hurt you, or when someone just rubs you the wrong way. You know, we've got differing personalities, all of us. And he said, there's not many mighty, right? He's chosen the base things. So here I am, one of the base things. You got to love me. But we are called to love the chosen lady in truth. Like John says, not just me, not only I, but also all those who know the truth. As Christians, there should be no other people we love more than God's chosen people, the redeemed of the Lord. And I want to encourage you guys in this, because I feel like since we've been in 1 John, I've been seeing this a lot more in this little church. I've been noticing that. I feel like there's been growth, there's been a change in the depth of community here and in the fellowship we have with each other and in the love of the brethren. People have been showing up for stuff, for the church cleanup, for the 4th of July, for the Agape Feasts. You guys have been volunteering for those things, for the outreaches. You've been staying and fellowshipping longer and more people after church. I feel like there's been more connections between people who maybe didn't used to talk to each other as much. So, great job, you guys. That's awesome. I'm encouraged by that. I know the Lord is pleased by that. So let's continue to grow in that. It made me think of a verse in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1. Paul says, finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you may excel still more. So you guys are doing it, but let's excel still more in this. I think we can continue to grow in our love for one another, in loving the church, and spending time with each other, and taking care of each other, and growing in our relationships with another, that we can grow in our love for one another. We can call each other, maybe. Not just at these events that we get together in, but check in with each other during the week. And not just the people we like to hang out with, but maybe the ones we don't like to hang out with so much. Maybe the people we don't know so well. Check in with each other. Hey, what's going on? How can I pray for you? You have the phone list, right? We've got Facebook, social media. Some of us know how to use that, right? We can reach out to each other and pray for each other, and check in with each other, to love each other, as John says, in truth. Remember in 1 John 3:18, he said, little children, let us not love in word or with tongue only, but in deed and truth. So John tells us, the elder to the chosen lady, the church and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, for the sake of the truth, which abides in us and will be with us forever. will be with us forever. Do you know that truth will be with us forever? Do you know that truth is eternal? And there is absolute truth. Truth is not subjective. It's not differing from person to person. There is an absolute truth. We can know truth, and truth doesn't change. And according to John, we will have the truth forever. Truth will still be truth for all eternity. It's his word, and it's his spirit. God is truth. Jesus is truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. That excludes every other path, every other way that claims to come to God. There is only one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Truth will be with us forever, and it doesn't change. And you know what? So will the church. The church is going to be with us forever. That's the truth. So we better start loving the church and each other, right? Because we're stuck with each other. If you don't start loving the church now, you're going to be miserable in heaven, let me tell you. Because it's going to be the church. You're stuck with us. So the truth, it's the word, it's the spirit of God. It abides in us. It will be with us forever. And John says, if we have the truth, we will love the church. And in verse 3, he says, grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Well, there's truth and love again. Grace and peace. This is a greeting that was common in the early church. It was used many times by Paul. And it's a cool thing. I'm sure you guys have heard this before, but I'm going to go through it. Grace was a common greeting that was used by the Greeks. It was the Greek word charis, grace. Just the way they said hi to one another, greeted each other, charis. On the other hand, Jews, Hebrews, they would greet each other with the word shalom, peace, shalom. The church, well, before we get to the church, Jews, in their religion and their beliefs, they never associated with Gentiles, the Greeks. It was anathema. It was something you shouldn't do. Okay, but in the church, according to Ephesians, God said that he reconciled those two groups. He got rid of the enmity between them, and he made them one man in Christ. So in the church, there was neither Jew nor Greek, right? You were in Christ. It didn't matter anymore. And that's kind of the cool thing about this greeting, grace and peace. It was a combination of the Greeks, the Gentiles, and the Jews, the Hebrews, in one. Isn't that beautiful? Cool. Unity, love, in truth. So, a common greeting, grace and peace. But here, John adds another one, grace, mercy, and peace will be with us. The only other time that I could think of that that's used is by Paul when he's writing to Timothy. And I think at that point he used it because Timothy was a pastor, he was in the ministry, and he knew he needed mercy. But here, I think similar, John's saying grace, mercy, and peace to you because this is a church that's being persecuted. He knows they also need the mercy of God. And what they were facing. It was necessary. If not for the mercy of God, Jeremiah writes in Lamentations, we would be consumed. Praise God for his wonderful mercy toward us. And normally, too, when they said grace and peace, it would be grace and peace to you, right? Grace and peace be with you. But here, John doesn't say just be with you. He says will be with us. Isn't that interesting? John includes himself and says it will be with us. So as I was reading this, I was thinking, yeah, this is a greeting, right? Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us. But I think it's more than that. I think this is a promise. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us in truth and love. Do you see that? Those are John's themes, his focus again, and what he's going to command us about shortly. And he's saying, if you do what I am going to write to you here, you will have these things. And notice the source. He says, from the God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. Grace, mercy, and peace come from God the Father and from God the Son. And this is a unique phrase that he uses here. It's the only time it's used in the New Testament when he says the Son of the Father. Usually it's the Son of God. But this verse, remember, he's combating Gnosticism and some of these other heresies. This shows that the Father and the Son are distinct. They're not to be confused. It's not the same person of the Godhead. But there is one God, and Jesus Christ is God. And he says that this promise of grace, mercy, and peace comes from God the Father, God the Son, but it will be with us from God in truth and love. In those two things, we are assured his grace, his mercy, and his peace when we love in truth. When we love in truth and love, we can have this if we do what John tells us next. And that's the command that he gives us. And there's two. Verse 4 is the first one. John says, I was very glad to see some of your children walking in truth, just as we have received commandment to do from the Father. And this is the first command that John gives us. Walk in truth. Walk in truth. He says right there in that verse, right? We have received commandment from the Father to do this. Walk in truth. So how do we walk in truth? We already defined truth, didn't we? What were they? Does anybody remember? The Word and the Spirit. He says, walk in truth. We already defined it. And look at this. He says, the truth that we know, but also all who know the truth. And the truth abides in us. And the truth will be with us forever. It's his word. He says the first commandment that we've got from the Father is to walk according to his word, to keep his word, to keep his commandments. And the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, what are we going to do? We're going to keep his word. Because the Spirit is in agreement with the Father and with the Son. And John says that he was happy, he was glad to see this, to see believers walking in the truth. He doesn't say that he was just only glad. He says, I was very glad to see them not only believing the truth, but obeying the truth. He saw it in their lives. He saw the evidence of their knowing the truth. And it showed that the truth was abiding in them. And John says, I was very glad to see this. And I was thinking, we should be too. Right? When we see fellow believers walking in the truth, that should make us glad, very glad, when we see each other, Christians, walking in the truth, according to his word and according to the Spirit. Does that bring you guys joy? I mean, it like makes me go crazy. I'm like, that's so awesome, man. That's amazing. I'm so glad that's happening, that it delights our heart, and it should. If it doesn't, or maybe on the other hand, sometimes it even bothers you to see others walking according to his word and keeping his commands and walking in the Spirit and trying to pursue and seek holiness and righteousness. Or maybe you feel that such behavior or pursuit is foolish or vain, or to some, maybe even think it's bigoted. Or that the scripture is just to be read but not obeyed. It's to be interpreted and understood maybe as fables or myths, as good morals that can make you feel good and give you general purpose, but it's not really the word of God. If that's you, then this may sound harsh, but I would submit that maybe you don't know the truth. Perhaps the truth does not abide in you. Maybe you don't have the Spirit of truth living inside you. And perhaps you're not truly saved. Because the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, who comes and makes his abode in us when we believe in Jesus Christ and we are born again of the Spirit and of his word. The Spirit of God rejoices with the truth of God's word. He rejoices in us. Even the hard truths, because there are some hard truths in Scripture, things we don't like to hear, because maybe it convicts us of things in our lives that aren't right and that we need to repent of. The Spirit of God rejoices even in those hard truths, and especially when the word is listened to and heeded and obeyed by those who believe. And this is the first command that John gives us, to walk in truth. And it's not a command from John. Remember, he said, we have received it from the Father. This is one that comes to us from God. And not only does it bring us joy when we see others walking in truth, but when we walk in truth, it produces joy in our lives too, as believers. You will experience joy yourself as you obey his word, because the Spirit will give you that joy. The fruit of the Spirit is love, but what's the next word that comes right after that? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Another one of the fruits of the Spirit. In righteousness, when we practice it in our lives, rather than practicing sin, as John has been speaking against, when we practice righteousness, when we follow God's word, righteousness is an incredible source of joy in the believer. Have you guys experienced that? Yeah. And this is not, he's not talking about joy in terms of like pride in yourself, because without him we can do nothing. But it's just joy that knowing that you're doing the things that please the Father, that you're bringing him joy when you obey him. So the first command he gives us, walk in truth. Can anybody guess what the second command is that he gives us? Verse 5, and now I ask you, lady, not as writing to you a new commandment, but the one which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. That's the second commandment. Walk in love. Love one another. Man, John in his old age certainly had a one-track mind, didn't he? All throughout 1 John, we read about this, right? 1 John 2, 7 through 11. Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, does this sound familiar, but an old commandment, which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The one who says that he is in the light yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. In verse 24 of this chapter, as for you, let that abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If what you have heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And then he tells us what that is that we've heard from the beginning. 1 John 3:11, for this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that you should love one another. Verse 23 of John 3, 1 John 3, and this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. John already went through all this in this first letter. Now he's going through it again. Because as John nears his death, he doesn't know when he'll die. He's 90. It could be any day. Two most important things to him and that are on his mind for the church is truth and love. Love one another. Love one another. It's probably what he was saying as he was passing away. Love one another. You know, like, it was just on his mind. It was on his heart. It was the most important thing to him. So what is love? How do we love one another? John tells us in verse 6, and this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you've heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. John tells us to love is to walk according to his commandments. God, that sounds a lot like walking according to the truth, doesn't it? And what are his commandments? Well, there's a lot in Scripture, aren't there? Scripture commands us to be hospitable to each other. That's a form of love. It commands us to be kind and tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Let no unwholesome word be heard from your mouth, but only that which is good for the edification of others, right? We shouldn't be using foul language. We shouldn't lie. Ten commandments, right? Don't lie. Don't steal. Don't covet or envy. Don't murder. And Jesus says, even more so, don't hate. Don't commit adultery. Jesus takes it further and says, don't lust in your heart. So there's a lot of commands in Scripture, right? And we could go through them all, but we're not going to do that. I'll spare you. To walk according to his commands. But really, in Scripture, there's two categories that these commands fall into. There are those that are in relation to God, how we respond and relate to God, and there are those commands that are in relation to our fellow man, how we treat each other. And what are the two greatest commandments? According to Jesus, according to Scripture, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. These are the two greatest commandments, Jesus said. Love God and love others. And the apostles also caught on to this and said this as well. Paul in Romans 13, 8 through 10, he says, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Why? For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor and is therefore the fulfillment of the law. And he says it again in Galatians. In Galatians 5, verse 14, Paul says, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, no wonder John's focusing on love so much, right? It's the sum of the law and the prophets. It's how we fulfill the commandments. It's fulfilled in one word in that statement. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. It sums up the whole law. We are told to love. God has told us how to love. He's given us the specific actions of how we love in his commands. And John says, if we keep them, we will love others if we're walking according to his commandments. That's why that is love, to walk according to his commandments. It fulfills the whole law. So John has commanded us now to walk in truth and to walk in love. But did you notice how John tied love and truth together here? In verse 1, he says, the church whom I love in truth. In verse 3, he says that we'll have grace, mercy, and peace in truth and love. He switches the order. Love and truth, truth and love. And then in verse 5 and 6, he ties them together. Walk in truth and walk in love. The truth is his commands. It's his word. And he says to love is to keep his commands. And almost equating the two. So according to John, truth and love are inseparable. And this is extremely important, I think, for us to understand. If we don't already, I think you guys do, but so this will just serve as a good reminder. I think there's a lot of people in the American church, but just in general today, who feel that truth is unloving. Have you ever gotten that sense? Talking to people, people feel like truth is unloving. And because of that, we compromise truth for the sake of love. But real love never compromises truth. Because it's only in and by truth that we can know real love. You cannot truly love without truth. Play on words. It's actually, in reality, it's unloving to compromise the truth or to soften it or to withhold truth or to pollute it or to mold truth or try and make it conform to what our society says and what our culture says or what we think or our perspective in the name of love. John says to love is to keep his commandments, God's commandments, and his commandments are his word. And to walk in truth is to walk in love, and vice versa. To walk in love is to walk in truth. To walk in truth is to walk in love. So people will say, well, I love God. I love others. Well, the question to ask then is, do you keep his commands? Do you live according to his word? Because if not, according to John, you don't actually love God. You don't really love others. John leaves no room here for the one who claims to follow God, to love God, who claims to love others and yet rejects the authority of God's word in their lives and does not obey his commands. John says that's not simpatico. It doesn't work like that. Truth and love are inseparable. You cannot have one without the other. I think we've all met that person who has a lot of truth but no love. And what happens when you have a lot of truth but no love? The truth on its own can be harsh, can be cold, can be legalistic. But the reality is that truth without love isn't truth at all. Truth without love isn't truth at all, according to John. Because the truth speaks of love, and it is born out of love, and they're inextricably bound. And love without truth, on the other hand, when you see just, oh man, it's all about love, right? It's very worldly, it's flippant, it's often frivolous and shallow, vain, or even selfish. But just like truth, love without truth isn't actually love. You cannot have one without the other. And you can't have love or truth without God. Because God has bound them together in himself. God is truth, Scripture tells us. God is love. And he's the source of both. We can't have those without God, without a relationship with Jesus Christ. Not truly. Not really. So John tells us this is the commandment that we've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, that we should walk in it. And to love is to walk in his commandments. He commanded us to walk in truth and walk in love, to love the church, to keep and obey his commandments. And that love and truth are inseparable. But how do we do that? How do we get there? Is it just by our effort? Is it by our own strength? I know that when I try, just in who I am, it doesn't go far enough. I can't do it. I'm a sinner. I'm selfish. I make mistakes. And when I try, I just get tired. Naturally, I'm more of an introvert. But whether we're extroverted or introverted, what we need to do this is God. It's the Holy Spirit. Isn't that how he started out? Whom I love in truth, and not only I, but all who know the truth for the sake of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. And what is the truth that abides in us, that will be with us forever? The Word and the Spirit. What we need to do this, to walk in truth and to walk in love, as he's commanded us to do, is first to read the truth, to know the truth, that it can be in us and abide in us, and the Spirit. We need the Spirit of God to help us in this, to rely on Him, because the fruit of the Spirit is love. So I want to just encourage us, as John is trying to encourage this church, the chosen lady, to love one another and to walk in truth and love. Get in His Word. Ask the Spirit to help you, to have the truth abide in you, that you would walk in truth. Ask the Spirit to help you love each other so that we can walk in love and keep His commandments. Because when we do that, what was the promise? Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you, will be with us in truth and love. Amen? That's the promise we have. You want grace, mercy, and peace? Let's love each other and walk in the truth and walk in the Spirit by the power of the Spirit. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. And these are basic truths, but they're the ones that are so hard to live on a day-to-day basis. The ones that we forget about, that we get distracted by other things or just our own stuff, what we want to do, what we've got going on. We stop thinking about each other. We stop thinking about Your church. We stop thinking about each other and their needs. And it's just too big of a hassle maybe to take the time, the energy, the money, or whatever it is to love each other in not only in word, but in deed and truth. But I pray, Lord, that You give us a hunger for Your word, that we would actually know the truth, that it would abide in us, because it's going to be with us forever. And so is Your church. And I pray that by the power of Your Holy Spirit, You would grow all of us in love for one another, to love one another, to walk in love and walk in truth. Because that's to walk in love is to keep Your commands. To keep Your commands, we need to know Your word. And this all ties together, Lord. But I pray that we would walk in truth and love, and that we could see that promise in our lives, that grace and mercy and peace would be with us as we walk in truth, as we walk in righteousness, as we walk in love with one another. So may we excel still more in that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's close out with a song of worship.